So some of us here are the enthusiasts. And what we can do is we can really create an environment in our AA groups that's conducive to surviving alcoholism. And we can do that by being informed, good AA members, sponsoring, you know, understanding the responsibilities of a home group, understanding the traditions and trying to abide by the traditions, understanding things like the spirit of rotation, understanding self-supporting through our own contributions, being an informed group member. What we can do is we can keep this society going. This is the most amazing society I've ever seen in my life. There's one miracle after another. This thing is worth preserving, enhancing, and growing. And we can do it. You know, we're the spark plugs for a lot of groups. And we can do it. We just need to become disciplined with putting in the work, carrying the message to the still sick and suffering alcoholic. You know, I'm going to share just a minute about where I ended up, outside of AA, where I ended up. So what I've been, what my career was, is I was a facility manager. I started out as a bad electrician, just blowing everything up. Man, you should have seen me. I'd electrocute myself or somebody else at least once a day. I learned something really important early on. You do not electrocute plumbers. They have absolutely no sense of humor about that, and they look for you after that. But I was a bad electrician. But because of the lessons you taught me, you taught me to come early and stay late. You taught me to give them a dime for their nickel. You told me to tell them what I was going to do, and then do what I told them I was going to do. That in itself is revolutionary in the maintenance world. You know, yeah, have you ever had a maintenance man tell you what they're going to do and then do it? You know, it's rare. Yeah. So I started to do that, and I started to get promoted. And you know, at the end of my career, I was running facility departments for large pharmaceutical companies. I was running everything in the business except the manufacturing or the packaging of the pharmaceutical product. I was in charge of everything else. And it was kind of amazing. I mean, you know, I had tons of people working for me. I was a you know, hire or fire. And you know, I always, in the back of my mind, thought, if they knew, who was sitting in this chair. But the fact of the matter was, I was sitting in that chair because I deserved to sit in that chair. But then COVID came along, and I retired. I'm at that age, right? I'm at that age where I can get Social Security and the 401k and all that stuff. And you know, we keep our expenses low, so it's certainly feasible to retire. And I'm sitting around for about 2.5 years. And there's something I like to do more than anything else in the world. Do you know what that is? Nothing. Anybody, you know, just stare off into space. Anybody else do that? You know, just nothing. Oh, let the record show. You know, half the hands go up. So I'm sitting there doing nothing one day, and my wife walks in, and she asks me, she goes, what are you doing? Nothing. Nothing. There's all kinds of stuff to do around here. I'm going to listen to something. So a job came up right after that, right? And it was right down the street from my house, and it's a little facility management job. You know, it's like nothing compared to what I was. I had like $20 million budgets. This is a little job. And I took it, and I love it. You know what it is? It's for a hospice organization. I'm in charge of 4 buildings for a hospice organization. I keep everything comfortable for people who need to be comfortable. You know what I mean? And they love me at this place. It's ridiculous. I love this